Hello and welcome to this latest episode from iGaming FM. With the SBC Boxing Championship nearly upon us, taking place at the Hilton on Park Lane in London on November the 10th, we spoke to John Arnold, CEO of executive recruitment specialist Arnold Ash. John has been working with the boxers for this year's event, training them and offering the benefit of his more than 20 years in boxing. So I started out asking him how he came to get involved in this year's championship.
I would say it's quite an interesting and coincidental story. A few years ago, kind of in the pre-pandemic world, the idea of SBC's charity boxing was born, and the group of industry individuals that decided they'd give it a go and fight for a good cause all went off to a training camp just outside Barcelona, which is run by Darren Hannis, the founder of London White Collar, who's still the main trainer and organizer of the show. They randomly identified Darren, went off to Barcelona to train with him. And during this training camp, various conversations were going on about boxing and about the industry and about gaming. I don't know who it was, but someone put two and two together. My name came up. Darren said, "Oh, John Arnold, I've been boxing with him for over 20 years. And I started to receive WhatsApp messages and photos of the group with Darren at his training camp, and all the parties were kind of put together in that vein. So Darren mentioned he knew me. We've been boxing together for 20 years. All the guys that were there at the training camp told Darren they knew me and said, "Look, let's all do this together." Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, that iteration of the event never transpired, but we all kind of stayed in touch and I joined the team, so to speak.
There's a little line you said in there early on that you'd been training with Darren or boxing with Darren for 20 years. I mean, that hints at a pretty involved boxing past of your own.
So I was fascinated by boxing and boxers from a young age, probably from around age 8. Unfortunately, I was never allowed to box myself. My mum insisted that I would never box whilst living under her roof because all she knew was Mike Tyson and ear biting and so on. So good on her for trying to protect me from Iron Mike, the baddest man on the planet. So actually, I followed my mum's advice. And when I wasn't under her roof, when I left her household and went to university, I decided that was the time to start boxing. So I went to Southampton Solent University and they didn't have a boxing club. So I took it upon myself to join the local boxing gym in Southampton, an amateur boxing club called Golden Ring. And I sold the dream to the owner of Golden Ring to open a Southampton Solent University boxing club with me. And we did so. So I became the president and captain of my university's boxing club, boxing team. That year, I actually went to the Busa Championships and won my university a silver medal. So in their first year entering the boxing championships, I brought home a silver medal, and that boxing club's still open. So I'm in the Hall of Fame at my university for opening a boxing club for them. I went on to box not only for the local amateur gym there, but also when I moved back to London, I joined Finchley Boys, which is kind of most famous for Anthony Joshua, Derek Chisora, Spencer Oliver and a few others. I ended up fighting 21 times and I won 20 fights, lost one. And the one I lost was the final at the Busa Championships, which is why I just got my silver medal rather than the gold. I stopped boxing competitively about 4 years ago, quite recent. But as I'm getting older, I won that match. But I woke up the next day feeling like I'd been run over by a bus. So I thought the bones are getting a bit old and time to slow down a bit. When I was boxing competitively, I was 75 kilograms, which is middleweight. Now I'm somewhere in the region of 87 kilograms. So that takes a lot of work, training, sacrifice to drop. The last few fights I had to drop between 8 and 10 kilos in the lead up to the fight. So not a mean feat.
So talking of dedication and sacrifice, let's turn to the boxers for the SBC event. We've done a bit of chat with them on this podcast. It's Daniel last year and Daniel Beard that is, and again this year, and we spoke to two of the fighters, Ali and Anna, this year as well. What's evident is just how seriously they're all taking it, how hard they're working. Trigwell didn't have a drink, he says, when he was in Las Vegas, which if you know him is really something. So these guys are taking it very seriously. So the training regime must be pretty intense. I wonder what that's like, what it looks like for them. and how they're getting on generally. I mean, what's the story there?
I mean, overall, I'm really, really impressed with the natural ability of each of the boxers on this year's show. But moreover, I'm really impressed with the mentality. I can vouch for Stuart Trigwell. I was watching him closely in Las Vegas. He was definitely training hard and not drinking. So yeah, I can verify that. There's 6 a.m. alarm clocks going off left, right and center all over these boxers' worlds right now. In Barcelona, at the SBC Barcelona event, at G2E in Vegas, these guys had their 6 a.m. alarm clocks ringing, getting to training sessions, getting to sparring sessions. I didn't make it to any of the sessions in Vegas, but in Barcelona, we had great sessions, fantastic sessions with the team on the beach. I think there's a couple of reasons why the boxers are so committed. Firstly, it's in a common and fantastic cause. Rob Dowling, the founder of the charity, and Dan Beard, who's organizing, running the event. Great guys, popular guys, and have done a fantastic job of putting this together. But actually, what's really apparent is there is no competition within this space. We're all in it for a common cause. We all want to help each other. We all want to make it the best event possible and raise as much money for Oliver's Wish as possible. Even in my space, you know, Rob and Dan are from the Kinexus Group, which could be viewed as my competitors. I don't view that at all. I view this as a group of really good guys wanting to do something really positive. And the event last year had such a fantastic feel around it. And we really want to replicate and improve on that this year.
Yeah, I can echo that actually. When we spoke to Anna and Ali, who are from Play and Go and Games Global, who ostensibly are competitors as well, there was a real sense of allyship actually, that they were on a team together is kind of how it felt. But I'm interested in the balance between kind of fitness and technique in this training as well, because those that don't box know that it requires a huge amount of stamina. But on top of that, of course, technique is incredibly important. I mean, there's probably quite a lot of people who would put themselves up for this who consider themselves to be fit and strong, maybe not boxers. And I wonder if there's any wake-up calls that they've had in terms of the actual sort of levels of stamina that are needed. I remember Dan saying that last year his fight was over very quickly and it was just as well because he didn't think he could go for another 30 seconds. So yeah, what's your view on that?
You know, the old saying, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. So
Mr. Tyson, I think, yeah.
Yeah, everyone comes into this with different natural abilities, different mentality, mindset. You know, there's so many elements to being successful in a boxing ring. Those elements include heart, chin, stamina, skill, technique, dedication. And actually, each one of the fighters probably have a slight advantage in each of these areas. So it's always very interesting to watch how people progress. I'm really interested to watch a few of the fights on the night, because even though, you know, as you previously mentioned, we're all in this together, it's all part of one team, even people that are fighting each other and opposing each other are kind of pretty friendly as things stand. When it comes to standing opposite someone in the ring, you don't want to lose, you're there to win. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, on the one hand, will the natural ability beat the determination? Will the heart beat the skill and dedication? You never really know until you're into that kind of pressurized environment and into that melting pot of the fight on the night. So I'm really excited and looking forward to it.
One last question about the night then, and you sort of alluded to it a bit then, not wishing to go through a list of 12 boxers, but maybe one or two that stand out to you as ones to watch, people who maybe have surprised you. Who are you particularly looking forward to seeing in the ring on November the 10th?
This year is the first year where there's an all-female match. And I think that'll be really great for various reasons. But the main reason is I think Anna Makhny against Ali Makhayeva will be a match where we'll see really good natural ability. They both are kind of, let's say, a duck to water when it comes to boxing. Anna and Ali, I've been really impressed with their natural ability, their natural composure, and their desire to get in the ring and spar and learn kind of the hard way. I can't wait to watch their match. And I really would have to flip a coin if someone asked me, you know, what the outcome's going to be. That's going to be a really exciting match. And they're both really, really not only naturally gifted boxers, considering the short time they've spent in the sport, but also just really, really nice people. So I'm really looking forward to them having a great bout and enjoying it. The other fight I'm really looking forward to is Ryan Collinge against Stuart Trigwell, mainly because they're such big characters, so well known in the industry. And I'm more interested in not only watching the fight, the bout, but also watching the crowd and their reaction to two really well-known characters getting punched in the face. I'm looking forward to seeing the crowd's reaction on that one. And I think that's going to be a very exciting bout.
You spoke before at the top about how you landed being involved in the SPC event, and that was people knowing you. It was like, oh, we know John Arnold, right? That's what everyone or a lot of people said and they say. And that's because of Arnold Ashe, ostensibly. I mean, you have many other qualities, no doubt, but your business and executive recruitment is something we should touch upon, because it's, you know, one of the reasons that you have such a big network, and it's one of the reasons you're involved in this event. But also, it's an opportunity for us to ask you about that. For those that don't know, can you just give us a 30 seconds on Arnold Ashe, just so that we can set the scene?
I established Arnold Ashe a decade ago. I felt there wasn't a recruitment business that had what I call a partnership approach. Arnold Ashe, over the last decade, has built an executive recruitment and integrated talent advisory business that really does partner with clients, ingrain themselves. It's been kind of growing year on year, building trust. And we've arrived now in a space where we're positioned as a trusted partner, and we're exclusively retained by many leading suppliers and operators to support them with their talent strategy.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, actually, because it seems that the recruitment business has been through many cycles in the last few years, and no doubt tracks the fortune and misfortune in whatever industries you're involved in. At this time, is this a good time for recruitment? Those people that you're working with closely, the operators and suppliers that you're partnered with, what are you bringing to them, and what are the big challenges for them, and how are you helping them overcome them?
Well, Arnold Ashe are here to support our clients overcome their challenges. We're problem solvers. On a basic level, we're here to identify and attract top talent for our integrated partner clients. However, we feel that we need to also be conscious that your business is only as good as the talent within it, with the leadership and the staff within it, and therefore you need to also retain them. So I think the biggest challenges right now is with a lot of growth in the industry, with consolidation in the industry, with restructuring of talent within the industry, we have to be very, very diligent to A, identify, attract and retain the quality staff within our clients, but also within the industry.
So to bring things right up to date in terms of executive search and recruitment, in 2023, looking into 2024, are there any specific trends that you're seeing? Are there roles that are hard to fill? Are you having to look outside of the sector more or less than you did previously? I'm just interested to know whether it's actually getting harder, and whether actually it's getting harder to find good people, and therefore you're having more work because people need your help more.
At the executive recruitment level, at the leadership level, the biggest challenge is just gaining trust. The talent is out there, the opportunities are out there, but you need to build trust. People need to feel comfortable looking outside of their organization, looking at their own personal development, discussing their career aspirations in the medium and long term with an individual. And that individual is me or us. Gaining the trust to partner with someone is the toughest part. Once they trust you, it may be a 1, 2, 3, 5 year project, but eventually knowing and understanding someone and their aspirations helps you lead them to the right role in the right company at some point.
It doesn't seem like there are many parallels between boxing and recruitment, but I wonder if there's anyone who can draw them, it might be you. Maybe you need a jaw of steel in recruitment as you do in boxing. Is there anything you can, anything nice you can finish on for us?
I think there's more parallels than you might think. You just mentioned the glass jaw. Yeah, so I think that's a good point. I think you need a very thick skin in recruitment or sales in general. So yeah, thick skin and having a rock solid jaw are probably hand in hand. But I think there are a few common themes between boxing and recruitment. You know, to succeed, you need to have hard work, teamwork, trust, training and development, persistence, continuous improvement, and ultimately a desire to deliver the best result. You know, it's taken 2 decades of hard work to become an overnight success in both the boxing and recruitment world, it seems. It takes a lot of hard work and determination in both spheres. I think all of the boxers have really, really, really trained hard. And even though it's only been a relatively short period of kind of, you know, 3 or 4 months of training, they really deserve to all do well, have a great evening. And I wish all the boxers and the charity all the best for November the 10th.